News 97.1 FM.
This is Countdown 2024.
Here are Charles Feldman and Margaret Carrero.
Well, I'm Charles Mike Simpson, and today for Margaret. 11 days to go until polling places open across the country. Already, an estimated 34 million Americans have cast their ballots in early voting. On today's Countdown 2024, some think Jill Stein is a courageous and progressive ideologue who keeps fighting against long odds. Others think she is a cynical opportunist who knowingly plays spoiler. Well, either way, Green Party candidate for president Jill Stein is with us today. But first,
we got some new polls, one from CNN, the other from the New York Times presidential race. You guessed it. Yeah, still a dead heat. Maybe a worrying sign for Kamala Harris. In the end, it's all about the Electoral College. Of course, in the last three presidential elections, Democrats have had an edge for the popular vote, even in 2016, when Clinton lost the Electoral College and the election. There's also the Cook Political Report's polling average with Harris just over a 1% lead over Donald Trump.
Yeah, 1% is, you know... 1%.
It's well within the margin of error.
Yeah. Add the Washington Post to the Los Angeles Times as two major newspapers that have traditionally made endorsements in the presidential race declining to do so this year. The Post's own reporters filed a story this morning saying the paper's editorial board had made an endorsement of Kamala Harris, but that Post owner and Amazon billionaire Jeff Bezos personally decided to kill it. Well, that's pretty much how it played out at the LA Times, where the paper's editorial board endorsed Harris, but its billionaire owner overruled them.
There's a joint statement, Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell and Speaker of the House Mike Johnson sending a letter to Kamala Harris asking the VP to tone down the rhetoric in the closing days of the campaign, specifically Harris calling Donald Trump a fascist. Letter accuses Harris of fanning the flames beneath a boiling cauldron of political animus, says her words in recent days seem to dare it to boil over. Not in this letter anything about Trump calling Harris a Marxist, a communist, and also a fascist.
Boiling cauldron of political animus?
They put that through ChatGPT.
Wow. Dr. Jill Stein is a Harvard-trained physician and longtime activist fighting for more equitable health care and environmental protections. She is also, by the way, a three-time candidate for president and is one of only three women ever to receive over a million popular votes in a national election. Dr. Stein, the Green Party's candidate for president, is with us now on Countdown 2024. Dr. Stein, thanks for being with us.
Great to be with you. Thanks so much.
So let me ask you, I'm sure that there are people who are out there who are familiar with you and your candidacy and your history who are cheering you on because you represent to them an alternative to the two major party candidates, Donald Trump and Kamala Harris. But there are a lot of other people there who are probably thinking to themselves, oh, there she goes again. Why is she doing this for the third time? Why are you doing this for the third time?
Because once you see the problem, you can't unsee it. And once you see the potential to actually solve it, the enormous concern of the American people who are clamoring for other choices and other voices, it's hard to let go of, you know, the potential to actually solve the crises we're facing in virtually every dimension of our lives. The American people are really struggling, whether it's half of Americans who rent their housing, they are struggling to make rent on a monthly basis. 60% of Americans who are living paycheck to paycheck, tens of millions of Americans who cannot afford their health care or their pharmaceuticals, millions who are driven into poverty every year just trying to afford their health care expenses. Yet we can solve these. And at the same time, our Congress is spending over half of our congressional budget on this endless war machine that keeps getting us in deeper into these catastrophic wars, and now the genocide in Gaza that the American people are paying for, even while a supermajority of Americans want a ceasefire and negotiated solution now, and over 60% want a weapons embargo right now to enforce that ceasefire. So if we weren't in the race, there would be no voice here, which is anti-genocide, anti-war, pro-worker, and for climate emergency action. We think that the American people deserve not only a voice, but they deserve a vigorous debate, and they deserve to hear the issues discussed and the real solutions put on the table, which are not otherwise available to them in this election.
So people can hear that and go, okay, plenty of problems we need to fix, but maybe she's going to get 1%, maybe. And then it begins the spoiler talk. And I know you've said before, you know, people ask me about this all the time. It never goes anywhere, but we have to go there. More votes for you than the margin by which Hillary Clinton lost in 2016, and all these ballots on swing states that you're on, people are worried that you're going to basically, you being in the race, is going to get Donald Trump reelected.
So let's remember one overwhelming fact here. In 2020, one out of every three eligible voters chose not to vote because they don't buy the zombie political campaigns bought and paid for by Wall Street, War Machine, AIPAC. One out of every three voters will not vote for that. Don't they deserve a choice too? And these voters tend to be lower income, of color, and younger. Exactly the people that our agenda appeals to, because we are talking about healthcare as a human right for everyone, which the American people are demanding, but neither political party will pass. We are talking about the right to a job. We are talking about rent control across the country to stabilize skyrocketing rents, which are forcing so many Americans into homelessness right now. We can solve that homelessness crisis. We can actually build 15 million units of affordable housing as part of a social housing initiative, which in turn would be part of our Green New Deal, because housing is very much a part of our.
All right, but Dr. Stein, I guess I don't see, with all due respect, I don't see how your candidacy, because you're not going to win. I mean, I think you're a very smart person. I think you realize that you're not going to win. It's just not mathematically possible.
If you're going to win someday, you have to begin.
I know. Well, but you began. But you began miles. Three times ago. So this is the third. Let me finish my question, though. Go ahead.
Yeah, one out of every three voters want something else. Those voters deserve to know. How many times have you covered our campaign? You know, our campaign is being blacked out because we are a threat. This is why the Democrats, for the first time, are actually taking out advertisements, because after three runs, people are now beginning to agree with us. Our agenda has been ahead of the game about healthcare and housing as human rights, about cutting the massive wasteful war budget. People want what we have. And the question is, are we going to get the word out? And this conversation helps to do that. And I must say, there are so many people who won't vote now. Go take a look at the comments on the Breakfast Club, where for the first time we were heard by a huge constituency. Comment after comment.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. But I think it's fair to say, and maybe you'll disagree, but I think that if you look at the different policies that you have and that Kamala Harris has and Donald Trump has, you're probably closer to Kamala Harris, at least in some areas, than you are to Donald Trump.
According to the prevailing propaganda, yes. But if you actually look at the details, I'd say no, because the Democrats.
But who are you closer to then? Which one?
I'm closer to the American people, so much closer to the American people that both candidates are terrified of our getting out there and being discovered.
Well, Donald Trump doesn't seem too worried. I mean, he says, I actually like her because 100% of what she's going to do, she's going to take from Kamala Harris.
Well, actually, the polls are now showing, in fact, that we're taking from Donald Trump, because the support for Harris has already left the room. And that is the Muslim American and Arab American voters. In fact, remember, abandon Biden and abandon Harris was about abandoning these candidates. That already happened. Now, those voters are deciding, are we voting for Donald Trump or are we going to vote for Jill Stein? So we are currently taking votes from Donald Trump. And that's what two most recent polls cited by Newsweek and also by Breakthrough Points in the last week are showing. So how much, you know, why is it that the political pundits are trying to manipulate this election and drive home a particular point of view? You know, it's really not decisive. What really matters most, where we draw our votes from, are largely those voters who aren't otherwise voting. It is a mythology perpetrated by the Democrats who do not want competition. So instead, they are throwing us off the ballot. They admitted they were hiring an army of lawyers in order to try to nitpick us. They did not succeed. And when they didn't succeed, then they started this this smear campaign. In fact, they gave they are instructing.
Right. Okay. But Dr. Stein, one of the either Trump or Harris is going to win this one. Which one would bother you the least?
Is there no lesser of two evils thing?
Yeah,
who's the least worst?
I believe we have two greater evils. Both, one is conducting genocide and the other promises to finish the job. And both, and particularly the Democrats, are leading the charge on censorship, on bashing the heads of innocent protesters, of calling out the cops who've been trained by none other than the Israeli occupation forces, who are now in the business of training local police, who are then trained in these cop cities, which are these horrible centers of militarized policing, which has been thoroughly embraced. And our local police forces are being militarized. Yes, Trump is threatening to bring in the military. And the Democrats, in the meanwhile, have militarized our local police. So this is a terrible thing, not just for the young people who are standing up and who are dropping out by the droves. You know, polls of young people now, half of them say they are hopeless about the future. One quarter say they've actually considered harming themselves within 2 weeks of the poll. This is what we have brought through a politics that is bought and paid for by Wall Street, the war machine, and AIPAC. So this is, you know, this people want other choices. Don't they deserve it? And in fact, we draw what the statistics show. This is not the propaganda that you'll hear from the Democrats and their mouthpieces. The actual facts are that we draw almost overwhelmingly from people who otherwise aren't voting. That is one out of every three eligible voters who badly needs a reason to come out and vote. And we have that agenda for healthcare as a human right, for stabilizing our rents, for jobs as a human right, for a Green New Deal, which will create millions of jobs and rescue us from the climate crisis. I'm sure.
Okay, we have to put you on pause for a minute because we do have to take a break.
Yeah, Jill Stein with us, Green Party candidate for the President of the United States, with us for the show today. It's Countdown 2024, brought to you by LMU, Loyola Law School, where students ignite justice, lls.edu/radio.
It's Countdown 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM. This is Countdown 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM.
Welcome back to the Friday edition of Countdown 2024, along with Charles Feldman, Mike Simpson in for Margaret Carrero. And we are brought to you by LMU Loyola Law School. Green Party presidential candidate Jill Stein with us today. She's on the ballot in key states, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin. And yes, we've been talking about whether or not she'll function as a spoiler in the race.
Dr. Stein is still with us. Let me ask you this, doctor, because you have a lot of your policies. I agree with you. I think a lot of Americans probably do agree with you on a lot of things, from health care to the environment, which you were a very early proponent of dealing with going back many, many, many years ago. So I think a lot of people probably do agree with you. But you were once a Democrat. If as many people as you claim do agree with you, why can't you run successfully as a Democrat where you would have a far better chance of actually winning a national contest?
So let me say, I actually haven't been a Democrat. I've been an activist, but I grew
up. You were not a registered Democrat?
No.
Past? Okay.
No, I was never a registered Democrat. I grew up during the Vietnam War. And, you know, my generation really saw that both parties were taking us into this horrific war in which millions of people with darker skin than ours were being wantonly murdered, and in which our brothers and sisters and cousins and friends were being pulled into the draft and were being killed and wounded in this war that we did not understand the reasons for. And I saw heads being cracked in against protesters in the same way that they are today. So I was never a member of either party, but having grown up in a Jewish family after the Holocaust, I became an activist because I was determined. I was part of our community's resolving that we would not allow genocide to happen again, not to anyone. And I was instructed that when you see bad things happening, you stand up and you fight against it. And that was just my mindset from the get-go. So I was a social activist. I was very skeptical towards both of the political parties as tools of the military-industrial complex. And I only became a Green after seeing that the social movements themselves were failing, after being a doctor, seeing our health really going down the tubes, whole new epidemics of asthma and cancers and diabetes and learning disabilities, developmental disabilities. you know, especially in children. And so I began to work on some of the drivers of those problems, you know, to get at the prevention side. As a doctor, I became active with communities that were trying to improve their conditions and found that you couldn't do that while money is buying policy. I became very involved with campaign finance reform in my home state in Massachusetts. We actually passed it as a large coalition. We passed clean elections, public funding to get our political system out from under the stranglehold.
Let me come back to protests for just a second with you, because you mentioned how you grew up and you were out there in the streets. I was listening to an argument about the election not too long ago, and I want to pick your brain about what do you think a Trump presidency would mean? Because it was a couple people on the left arguing, and one of them said, you know, even if he wins, and they were no Joe Biden fan, this was back when Biden was still in the race, this person said, at least we'll be united in protest against Trump. And the other person said, yeah, but what do we lose over the 4 years while we're protesting and he's not listening to us? So what would a Trump presidency look like in your eyes, and what would a Harris presidency look like?
Yes. Well, unfortunately, there's far too much convergence between those campaigns. And, you know, we used to think that the Democrats were the lesser evil on immigration and the abuse of immigrants. But what we've actually seen is that under Joe Biden, more people were deported than under Trump. And recently at a house party last night, in fact, I was approached by a Hispanic woman who said that her community was all voting Trump. She was just delighted to discover our campaign and our position on immigration in particular. And I asked her, well, why are Hispanics voting for Trump? And she said, because more of us were deported under Biden. So, you know, you've got the lip service one way. And in fact, you have the Biden-Harris bill before Congress, which was actually far more draconian at the border in terms of border policy, even than the position of the Democrats. So the prevailing mythology, you know, the Democrats are very good at the PR and the spin, but if you get behind it, it's not so true. On climate, for example, if you look at the details of the Inflation Reduction Act, you know, which the Democrats claim is their gift to the climate, in fact, the Inflation Reduction Act is a fossil fuels first bill. It requires 60 million acres offshore and 2 million acres onshore be auctioned off for fossil fuel extraction every year before any major renewable project can be built. And in fact, you know, fossil fuel extraction massively increased, far more under Biden than it did under Trump. So you hear one thing from the propaganda, but if you actually get beyond the words and you look at the actions, it just doesn't hold up that the Harris campaign would be the lesser evil, you know, especially on the genocide.
Right. What do you do? I'm curious, what do you do in between running for president?
Oh, man, I don't go away. It's only the mainstream media that goes away. Anybody who follows my social media, go take a look at it and see what I've been up to. What, you know, I am helping other candidates, helping elect candidates in my home state, to school committee, to mayors of their townships, to select boards, to boards of library. The Greens are very active at the local level. Extremely, we have over 150 candidates serving currently. We have had over 1,500 over the past decade or two. If you run truly as a people-powered campaign, not only do you not have the billions and the millions coming in through all the loopholes for legalized corruption, we do not subscribe to that. We don't take corporate money. We don't take corporate PAC money. We don't work with super PACs, et cetera. So we are a people-powered campaign. We have many disadvantages in that regard.
Dr. Stein, hang on just a second. We got to take a quick break. Okay. Don't go away. Like you said, you don't go away. So hang on with us on Countdown 2024.
This is Countdown 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM.
Back here on Countdown 2024, Mike Simpson in for Margaret Guerrero, along with Charles Feldman, in our final minute or so with Jill Stein, Green Party presidential candidate.
Dr. Stein, would you consider, if asked, to serve in the administration of either Donald Trump or Kamala Harris, because you would get perhaps some of your things accomplished?
Well, you know, we've seen that before. We saw Bernie Sanders, you know, offered the chairmanship of the Budget Committee under the Democrats. And, you know, basically his ideas were tossed out. I have no doubt that it would be the same if I were in that position. I would certainly entertain the offer. But, you know, I think I'm most useful building the political voice of, I dare say, a majority of Americans who are basically shut out of our current political system. We have real solutions right now that could really be working for people. Healthcare is a human right under Medicare for All that would actually save us $500 billion a year. rent control system and so on. Let me just encourage people to go to jillstein2024.com, find out more, and be a part of this. Don't just vote for us, but volunteer.
All right, we got to go. We have to go. Okay. But thanks for being with us. That's Dr. Jill Stein, who's the Green Party presidential candidate. Coming up on Monday's Countdown 2024, for decades and a couple of presidential elections, former Fox News star Geraldo Rivera counted Donald Trump as a close friend and was a strong supporter of the former president. This year, that has all changed. On Monday, we will talk with Geraldo about what happened to change his mind. Remember, we're here every weekday afternoon at 2:30. And if you miss a show, catch up on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Countdown 2024, follow the show. Countdown 2024, brought to you by LMU, Loyola Law School, where students ignite justice, lls.edu/radio.